Hi, you're listening to Glad Tidings. Today we have Pastor Roger sharing the word. We hope this message encourages you in your faith.
Always so wonderful to worship together as a family, to celebrate the name of Jesus. That is why we're here today, amen? And even this Christmas season, you can see all the beautiful decor that is on stage. How many of you have put up a Christmas tree in your home? Begun to decorate your home, yeah? Awesome. I want to ask you a question. Put your hand straight up. If you love to receive presents, give me a wave. Yeah? Well, that's most of you. Okay, keep your hands up. Husbands, please take a look at your wives if their hand is lifted. Do not forget, all right, to buy them a present this Christmas and really meaningfully think what is going to bless them. What is going to delight them? What is going to bring them joy? Amen, husbands? Whoa. Amen, husbands? Yeah. All right. I want to ask you guys another question. How many of you remember the best gift you've ever received? The most memorable gift that someone has ever given you? So I decided to ask my kids this question. You know, sometimes I joke with my wife, the reason why we have kids is for sermon illustrations. That's their biggest value. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I ask them because I want to know what they value. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so I wanted to know what in their hearts they value. Okay, I won't tell you who said what. I'm going to shift around the order. The first child, all right, she said this. My favorite present of all was when Kaufu bought us the puppy. You know, we got a puppy. And she said, every day I get to play and hug and cuddle with this living creature. And it brings me great joy. The second one said, she was giggling as she was telling me, one day, grandma on my birthday gave me some money. How many of you like money? Some of you shyly put up your hand. And she said, look around this toy store. Anything within budget, you can have today. And she, I don't know whether that was the right thing to say because we waited for her, I think, for 45 minutes that day. Wow, she was so excited. She was looking at every price tag. You know, she was taking note. Okay, I must remember this. I must remember this, okay? And she was going all around and just that memory stuck with her. And the last child, she said, I loved it best when mommy and daddy took leave and brought the family to the theme park. You know, and we were screaming in fear on the rides, but doing that together, doing something she enjoyed as a family, that's what left a core memory inside her. You know, and so even as we approach Christmas, what is the gift that you treasure? Because the best gift that humanity has ever received, it's not an object, it's not an experience, it's a person. His name is Jesus, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And even as we approach Christmas and reflect on Jesus and who he is to us, I was led to preach today on another important gift that God has given us that helps us to appreciate and receive every other gift from God more fully. How many of you want this gift? Yeah? There is a gift that even allows us to receive Jesus and the gift of Jesus more fully. And that's where the sermon title comes from. That's why it's called the gift of rest. And I want to talk today about this gift that will help you to unlock even the appreciation and joy and delight to be able to receive and appreciate everything that God has given you. This life, the moments he has given us, the people that he has around us. You know, look to the person on your left and right and say, thank God for you. I'm watching to see how sincere you are, okay? Whoa, that was loud. Shout it out. Thank God for you. And so, really, what does it mean to have divine rest, godly rest? That is what is going to unlock joy and freedom in your life to receive everything else the way that God wanted. Can we just stand right now? We're going to read from the Word and honor the reading of the Word. A powerful passage from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Okay, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let's just bow our heads and pray over the word before we are seated. God, today we open our hearts to everything that you want to instruct us on, everything you want to inform us on, everything that you want to form our souls, our inner lives, and our external expressions. We surrender to you and we ask that you speak loud and clear, drop seeds of knowledge and understanding into our hearts so that we can live from inside out, oh Lord, in a way that honors you, in a way that walks in the blessedness of the life that you want for your children, oh God. So let every ear and heart be open today, even as we dig into your word. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before we dive in further, I want to provide a few contexts, all right? Some informational context on the Sabbath before we move on that is important as the foundation. The first thing is something I used to ask growing up. I used to ask, why did God rest? Have you ever asked that question? Especially in kids' church, they will ask, why did God have to rest on the seventh day? And I would imagine that he was creating the heavens, the earth, he was creating the rivers and the oceans and the mountains. And then what happens? I said, okay, after 6 days, all that exertion, he deserves a break. Is that true? God deserves a break. He has to rest from all that exertion. But the more I reflect on it today, the more I realize that that is not consistent with the character of God. God's character is all-powerful, all-knowing, you know, all-present, right? And because of that, that means that he didn't need to rest. In Psalms 147, it says this, "Great is our Lord, mighty in power. His understanding is infinite." And so even though he didn't need rest, he still rested. And what does that tell us? That means that Sabbath rest is part of God's perfect plan. It's part of God's perfect plan for work. And when he was able to take a step back and see that what he had created was complete and good, he said, "I'm going to purposefully stop all work so that I can savor and appreciate and delight in the creation that I have made." And now he's gently inviting each of us, his creation made in his image, to have the same delight, to have the same rest, not because, you know, it's something that he needed, but because it is his perfect plan for how we are to live our lives. Amen. And so this is something that I want to start off on. The second context I want to provide is that for Israel, Sabbath observance was a matter of life and death. Back then, Moses in Exodus 35 says, whoever does work on this day shall be put to death. And why was it so important then? Because it reflected that holy covenant between God and Israel, where for 400 over years they were in slavery in Egypt, and then God, by his refreshing and creative power, brought them out of that slavery and bondage, and then brought them to a life, a promised land that was supposed to represent a life of freedom. It was supposed to be his chosen generation, and that the Sabbath observance actually set them apart from all the nations around. It marked them because it reflected the covenant between God and them. And that's why when God was establishing his holy nation, it was that serious that if you were to work on Sabbath, you could be put to death. Good thing we're now in the the New Testament, in the New Covenant. And I want to share the third context is how we apply Sabbath today. You find Jesus, you know, out of all the commandments in the New Testament, he begins to take his foot off the pedal for Sabbath. And that's interesting because the other nine, he begins to reinforce, you know, with moral imperatives. You have to follow the other nine, and it links to how we are meant to live morally. But Sabbath, he begins to say, hey, you Jews have tried to observe it too strictly, too rigorously. Yes, I can heal on Sabbath because I delight in healing. And when someone gets healed, they delight in me. That is part of Sabbath. And so he began to reveal that it was no longer a compulsory commandment under the New Testament. Everyone say, praise God. So you won't be put to death for not observing Sabbath. Praise God. All right. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 to 17, you know, Paul begins to reinforce this understanding. It says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. And he also reiterates in Romans certain things that relate to this as well. And so when the gospel went out to the Gentiles, something changed. Sabbath keeping was no longer a compulsory commandment. It wasn't no longer something of moral judgment. Sabbath was no longer a matter of judgment. It became a matter of freedom. Everyone say freedom. And that is something that I want to build on today. This is foundational to our understanding of the Sabbath. It is a loving invitation from Jesus to step into the best and fullest life possible, filled with rest and joy and peace. And that is what we're going to focus on today, because it is a gift. It is a precious gift that I want each of us to discover or rediscover, especially in the season of Christmas, when we want to appreciate Jesus as much as we can, to the fullest. Amen? I just want to begin with a quote by Walter Brueggemann. And this quote, the hardest part is pronouncing his name. His book was called Sabbath as Resistance, Saying No to the Culture of Now. And he said this, Sabbath, it is not merely an interlude within life, but rather its animating heart, suffusing every moment with the potential for joy and peace. It is the interpretive key that helps us to understand all the moments and members of life, what they mean. It gives aim and direction life so that we know how and where we are to move. Life's fullness and or happiness cannot be achieved in the absence of divine delight. And God's purpose and intention for us is to receive divine delight. Amen? So we are called to step into this rest, into a rest that looks so different from what is found in the world. And is it a rest that allows us to appreciate even the person of Jesus more in our lives? It is a gift that we should not waste, especially as we approach Christmas time. And this season, we want to unwrap three things today about the Sabbath. All right? The first thing I want to unwrap about the Sabbath that I hope stays in your mind after today's sermon is this. This is the first one. It's a very small item, but actually it's a very precious gift. It's given to me by Pastor Linda. Woo! And she came back from Israel, and this is anointing oil from Israel. And actually, when I use different anointing oil, this one smells the best, all right? You can tell her when you see her. Or ask her, how come I didn't get some? And this oil represents holiness, setting apart for God, setting apart for a holy God. Everyone say holiness. The first thing we want to unwrap about Sabbath is that it's strongly linked to holiness. In the passage that we read just now, in the beginning and the end, it starts and ends with holy. The first sentence says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. The last sentence says, therefore God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. In fact, if you read the Bible, the first ever mention of the word holy comes from Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. And it says this, then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. It is a God that day that God has blessed and set apart for holiness. And, you know, you will find that the Jews observe it on Saturday, and the early church, if you study back, they observed it on Sunday. So the important thing is not whether you observe it on Saturday or Sunday. The important thing is that you have set aside 24 hours each week to dedicate unto the Lord, to fix your eyes on Him, to try to walk in a different rhythm, to remove all distractions from that day, and to delight in God and in the life that He has given you. Amen? And so, the next thing is that you find that on this Sabbath day for Israel, the priests would double their sacrifices that day. So that means that on that day, their sacred activity of priests increased. And so if you ask why the pastors seem so busy on Sunday, it's because we are supposed to double our sacred activity on Sunday. You know, but for the rest of Israel, which is our focus today, their day was marked with decreased activity, purposefully stopping work so they could recognize who God was in their lives. And that was something that was very powerful. How many of you here are still studying? Give me a wave. Still studying? Yeah, up here so many. I want to tell you some good news. According to the Bible, according to the fourth commandment, it says you're not supposed to do chores and homework on a Sunday. Nick, I heard you. Yeah. And actually, you know, if your household abided by Sabbath properly, you know, this was a day that even those kind of things were set aside. You know, and let me clarify something. I have to speak on the behalf of the parents now, you know, after they come and kill me after the service. All right. It doesn't mean you procrastinate, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then on Sunday you're like, oh, it's Sabbath. I don't need to do my chores. I don't need to do my work. It means that you develop a habit of clearing everything in the 6 days, and then on the seventh day you say, this is a time I'm going to appreciate my family. This is a day I'm going to appreciate my life. This is a day I'm going to appreciate God in my life. And so, you don't use it as an excuse, all right? Remember, it's no longer a compulsory commandment. It's an invitation to a life of deep freedom. Amen? And so, at the same time, when you, when there are those that are working so hard, I want to speak to you as well, where you might be in a job or running a business where you feel you have to work 7 days a week in order to keep things together, that you have to toil all those 7 days. I want you to consider something. If God were to whisper to you today and say, you know, I would like you to set aside a day to rest and delight in me. And if you work hard on the 6 days, be assured that I will make sure that I'll provide for you and your family and your household. Would you learn to trust me? And if God in His sovereign authority whispered that into your heart, would you be able to set that as a goal and work towards doing that, knowing that it is part of the best life, the fullest, most abundant life that God has for you? At the same time, when you set a day apart for God, it reminds you that you yourself are set apart for God. You're reminded that God's covenant has marked you for eternity, that you are set apart for a holy God, that every day can be a worship unto Him. And because every day is a beautiful act of worship, it declares your utter dependence on God. In a world filled with sin, anxiety, and strife, it is a sign that you are able to fully rest in the finished work of the cross. It is a powerful sign both to those around you and to yourself that when you let go and just let God come in and take over and you don't have to keep working and doing, that He is still in control, that He has saved you, that He has redeemed you, that He has set you free to walk in liberty. That's how powerful this symbol is. You know, there's a very famous verse we always quote in Psalm 46, and it says, "Be still and know that I am God." There's another translation that you will find where "be still" translates to "cease striving." Cease striving. How beautiful is that? Cease your striving. Cease the strife and rest in God and know that He is God. You no longer have to strive. You no longer have to earn your salvation. You no longer have to earn your freedom. You no longer have to earn your rest. But God has given it freely for you to receive as a gift today.
We hope that you are enjoying the message so far. If you would like to know more about our church and get connected, head to our website at gladtidings.my. Thank you for listening. Now let's get back to the Word.
And it's something that you can learn to delight and enjoy in. Some of us think that a day of holiness means that you have to be very, very somber. How many of you have that impression? You know, there are some days on Sunday that I will bring my kids swimming after church before dinner, and I will be throwing them all over the pool upside down, you know, and laughing. And at some point, I'll be hit with such gratitude to God. And many times I'll just go under the water for a while and I'll just say, thank you, God, for my family, for our health, that we can enjoy together like this. Thank you for this moment with them. You know, and I don't know whether when I'm underwater and I'm doing this, you know, whether they are with their goggles looking to see what I am doing. Then I'll come out of the water and I'll hug them and I'll hug my wife. And I want to tell you that holiness is not just about being serious. Sometimes at the right moments, you're serious. Just now as we sang, you know, Holy Forever, yes, you can be serious. You don't have to be laughing and jumping around during those moments. At the right moments, you can laugh, you can enjoy, you can flip your kids upside down to the extent that your wife starts scolding you, but enough about that. You know, you can enjoy and delight in the presence of God, because a day that is set aside for holiness is actually a celebration of life that is anchored on the understanding that everything good in my life comes from God. And we can celebrate that with laughter. We can celebrate that with joy. We can celebrate that with worship. We can celebrate that with praise. Just now we walked to the side and to the side. I saw some of you struggle with the coordination, but we will, you know, God will help you. But really, when we set aside a day for holiness, it is a day of delight. Amen? So the first thing we've unwrapped about Sabbath is that it involves a setting apart for holiness. Can we catch that today? The second thing I want to unwrap about Sabbath is that it relates to our identity. And so this is a picture. Me and my family, my parents are there. And I wonder how we would describe ourselves if someone came up to us and asked, who are you? Do you say, yeah, I'm a husband of one wife. I have three kids. You know, I'm a son. I'm a friend. It's interesting because every time we meet new people, and we've been having a lot of Christmas parties this season, the easiest thing to talk about is our work. Is that true? Aside from shaking the hand and say, hey, I'm Roger, you know, what's your name? It's very easy to say, so what do you do? And then to tell what you do. Somehow society has made it that the most comfortable thing to define yourself, to describe yourself, is in your work. And that's something that we have to be a little bit careful about, because if we keep following that, we find that our identity begins to be wrapped up in what we produce, what we achieve, our status, the things we've built up in our home and our lives, the wealth we've built up, what we've succeeded in what we've contributed and produced. That is what our identity becomes wrapped up in. And so, this is important because Sabbath reminds us. Sabbath is a lifestyle that tells us that we are more than what we do. That our worth is not determined in what we produce, in what we achieve. That our worth does not diminish based on what the world tells us, but because of what God tells us. And when we stop work for 24 hours each week, we declare to the world and we declare to our hearts that even when we produce nothing, our worth does not diminish at all. Isn't that amazing? Even when we contribute nothing, our worth does not diminish because in the eyes of God, we are His chosen people. We are His sons and daughters. He has chosen to call us His beloved. And when we hear the voice of God, we find that the lies of the world and the enemy will no longer reach us. You are not what you do. You are a child of God. Amen. And so that's why we are human beings and not human doings. All right? If we remain chained to our work day after day, it actually links back to what God originally delivered Israel from, if you realize it. Israel, for over 400 years, was in slavery and bondage to Egypt. All they knew every day, their whole existence was endless and insatiable quotas of work, of targets. And if they didn't meet them, they were punished or they were killed. That is all they knew for generation upon generation. Their identity was free or cheap labor for Egypt. That is all they were and that is all they knew. And so, when God delivered them through Moses, He began to give them a new identity. You are my chosen people. I have chosen you. You are my beloved. I love you. You are my children. I am your father. And I have set you apart for freedom. And that is how powerful the Sabbath is. And you realize what the order is. Did God give the Ten Commandments first, or did He deliver Israel from Egypt first? He delivered Israel from Egypt first, and then He gave the Ten Commandments. And what does this tell you? It tells you that He will free us. He will deliver us. That is His gift for us. And then He says, these Ten Commandments are how a free people live. This is how you express your freedom. This is how a chosen people live. This is how you walk in liberty. And then He begins to show that these are the steps to walk in that freedom. You do not need to earn salvation. You don't need to earn deliverance. God comes and has put Himself there to save each and every one of us and has given it freely. And then He says, this is how it looks like if you want to walk free in the identity of my child. And that's powerful because then you see, that's why in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 2, God spoke all these words and He said this, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. If we are chained to our work today, we are not living in our identity as chosen, set apart people who have been set free from to live in freedom. And so it's something that even for myself as a pastor, it has been difficult to fully understand and embrace at times. Especially when I move from, the marketplace to full-time ministry. I was over 10 years in the marketplace. And I remember when God continued to remind me of His call upon my life. And I found it so hard to say no. But then, you know, at that time, my wife was already a pastor. She went in about 5 years ahead of me. We already had two children. And the third child was in her womb. And so many people came up to me during that season and they said, Roger, aren't you being irresponsible? Don't you know that your role as the man of the household is to provide for and protect your family? That is your primary role. You must do that. And I sought God about it and He just kept assuring me that in this situation, He said, I will be your Jehovah Jireh. For your home and for your family, you have to learn to trust me. You have to learn to let go. And as I let go and entered in, let me tell you that all the years that have gone by, you guys know who know my family and my home, our family has never experienced lack for a single day. God is good. God will provide even when logically, it doesn't look like I will be able to find a way to make ends meet in the home. God is a God of His word, and He will be able to follow through and cover us. Amen. And so, Let us learn to allow the Sabbath to redefine who we are, that we're not tied to our work, that it is not tied to our value, it's not tied to our worth. But as we find ourselves under the mighty right hand and love of the Heavenly Father, that is how we call ourselves His children. Amen. The last point I want to talk about is this. I asked the first service, and not that many of them knew what this was. How many of you know what this is? Yeah? Oh, very good. Jordan, A plus for you. So a metronome, you know, back then it was used by musicians to keep time and rhythm, right? It would just go tuck, tuck, tuck. If you see the musicians today and the worship leaders, they have an in-ear monitor. And actually in their monitor, they hear tuck, 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 tuck to keep time. You know, imagine that as we are worshiping and just lost in worship and holy forever. And we're deep in worship. Actually, what they hear in their ears is tuck, 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 tuck. And that is the sacrifice that they make in order to help to really usher in, you know, an atmosphere where we're able to just engage and worship God. This is what they practice and then allow us to then enter into worship, you know, as easily as possible. Can we just appreciate the worship and the AV team today? And so it helps us to keep time and rhythm. And today, the third point is about rhythm. What are holy rhythms? What are some practical rhythms that we can practice? Because I've already touched on some of the theological reasons and purposes of Sabbath. I want to leave you with some four practical handles. All right? And why is that? It's because, actually, in practice, Sabbath is one of the hardest commandments to live out. It might be the most broken commandment in the Bible. In fact, some of us, including me, actually, mainly me, you know, we have sometimes taken pride in breaking the Sabbath. We will go around and say, oh, I'm so busy. As a pastor, oh, I'm always doing ministry. Every day I'm busy, busy. When people ask me, I'll say, yes, I'm so busy. It's such a busy season. Yes, there's been so many things to do. But we have to be careful, because if that language continues to define our life, then busyness begins to define our life. We become very used to that language, and we feel like it's not normal for us to be free, to be taking a break. In fact, I will see some people that go on holiday or are supposed to rest on their off day, and they are restless. So restless because they don't know how to rest anymore. They don't know how to appreciate what God has given them. They don't know how to appreciate the moments that they have, because we have defined our life with busyness. And so what are four practical handles that I want to leave you with? The first P is presence. Everyone say presence. Sabbath only makes sense in light of the presence of God. It's not just taking a break from work. It is being found in God's presence. It is being found in God's creation. That's why sometimes when we go out in nature, it touches our soul so deeply, because we are reminded. It reflects the creation of God. It reflects the Creator. And we're reminded that we're part of a world which is not just what we see and what we feel, but that spiritually that there is a sovereign God who is resting in heaven above us. Sovereign and in control. And we appreciate the wonder and the beauty of His creation. We need to learn to be found in God's presence. In John chapter 15, verse 4, it says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. No good and meaningful fruit can come out if God is not in the picture, if you are not connected to God. We need to learn how to abide in God's presence, and learning how to abide in Jesus is the foundation of Sabbath. The second thing that I want to talk about is R, rest. Everyone say rest. This is practical. You have to stop work. You have to find the time to stop and cease striving, to be still and know that He is God. You have to find a way to go into the deep rest that God wants you to have. And let me tell you, it's a rest that you cannot find in the world. It's not just a rest that deals with your physical fatigue, that deals with your emotional and mental stress. It is a rest that touches your spirit. When God is in the picture, when you allow Him to bring you through that appreciation of the life that He has given you, and you are aware of His presence around you, let me tell you, there is a different rest that will come upon you that will pierce to your very soul. Some of us, we can't even find a way to sleep properly at night. When we go on holiday, we're still thinking about work. Some of us bring our laptops to work, in case the email comes in case the message comes in, and actually we're jumping back and forth, and the most holiday that we see is from your social media. But actually, you're going back and forth from busyness, and you can't even rest when you're supposed to rest. The rest that comes from God is deep and profound and better than anything the world has to offer. The third word starts with A, and it's appreciation. Like I mentioned before, it's a day to celebrate life, to celebrate the truth and freedom that we have encountered and discovered because of Jesus in our lives. It's a day that we realize our identity is not wrapped up in our work, but in our identity as God's child. That we can enjoy, that we can delight in everything that He has given us, that we have every right to because we are His child and we inherit His inheritance. That is what we revel in. That is what we rest in. You know, I've actually made it a point to try to make family altars fun in my home. It's not just a time where we are kneeling at the bedside and praying and crying. Okay, I think my children will be very scared of entering into the presence of God if that is what they see. The first thing I do, I hope you guys don't find it irreverent. Please don't condemn me or judge me. The first thing I do when I go into the children's room when we do family altar, and actually they're asking for it every night. That's how much they want it. Daddy, mommy, it's family altar. You forgot. Actually, they're the ones reminding us. I will go in, I will lie on the bed like this. And straight away, all three will climb on top of me, pop, pop, pop. And they will scream, family pancake! And then while I'm lying there and I can barely breathe, I'll be like, okay guys, how are you guys doing? Good. Give me your high-low. And they will tell me the highlight and low-light of that day. And as they tell me that, then I'll be able to share how Jesus comes into the picture in a way that relates to them. Are you okay when your friend said this about you? Know that you are loved here. Know that Jesus loves you as well. Know that you will always come home to a safe place. Know that no matter what you face out there, we are here for you and God is here for you as well. Children, can we just pray over this sibling for today because they had a hard day? And then just release that prayer of blessing over them. And they love it. They enjoy it. It's the best part of their day when they can spend time with family in that way. And this is what we can do when we appreciate Sabbath rhythms that God has given us, that God has, provided for us. The last C I want to talk about, you notice it spells P-R-A-C. To start spelling practice, but I don't have time to spell practice. Today, we're only going to do P-R-A-C. Someone came up to me after service, first service, and said, Roger, does that spell C-R-A-P? I said, no, P-R-A-C, okay? And so the C is actually contemplation. Everyone say contemplation. It's a slowing down to pay attention to what is happening deep within in our hearts. Because that is the place that God wants to start with in how we relate to Him. It's not just in the external expressions. It's not just in the lifting of hands. It's not just in the smiles or the expressions of our face. It is deep down to the core of our soul. How are we doing with God? Are we connected with Him? Are we listening to Him? Have we made space for God? Have we made room to listen to Him? Have we left margin for God to work in our lives and to lead us? Contemplation is such an important spiritual practice today. Because in the hurry, in the rush, in the frantic nature that the world immerses in, it's so hard to slow down and contemplate on the things of God. And that is something that He wants us to unwrap and learn, even in this season. Some of us are so tired today because we're living by the standards and rhythms of the world. We're listening to the lies of the enemy, that what gives our life meaning, that what gives us worth and value is what we produce. But God is saying today that He has given a gift of rest to recognize that your identity is a child of God, that you don't need to earn anything, but that He has given it to you to enjoy. We need to learn to live for the approval of God and not the approval of man, because that is where freedom will come from. There's a pastor named Mark Batterson who puts it this way. He said this: live for the applause of nail-scarred hands. Live for the applause of nail-scarred hands. Last night, even as I prepared this message and I just knelt before God, in fact, my oldest daughter saw me kneeling at the couch and she joined me and we prayed together. I didn't even ask her to. But what a precious moment. I could have been rushing to get the script out, but we just spent long minutes there. Long minutes, just, and at first we didn't even pray. We just stayed quiet before God, and she didn't even look up and say, "What's happening?" She just kept quiet beside me. In fact, when she went off, there were tear stains on the couch where she was kneeling. We need to learn to live for the applause of nail-scarred hands, and just to feel God's hand upon my shoulder and upon my head say, "I'm proud of you, my son." Let me tell you, nothing in the world will replace that. You will never find the satisfaction that you find in God anywhere else. And He wants you to unwrap this gift of rest this season so that you can appreciate and live in the fullest and most abundant life that He has desired for you, because He has called you His child. It's not just words. He loves each and every one of you. He loves us. And He wants the best for us. He wants you to receive this gift today. The solution for the weariness, for the fatigue that we feel, is not rest, but rest in Jesus. Amen. Can we just stand today? I'm going to give two altar calls. For us to respond to the Word of God. It's always precious when the Word has been released to have a time of response. First call is this: if you have never received Jesus in your heart before, you heard this message about this God that gives you a rest that is deeper and more profound than anything that you can find in the world. It's a supernatural rest and delight that God allows you to walk in when you are His child. And you want to take a chance on God today and ask Him, "Would you come into my heart, into my life? I don't want to miss you out. I want to give you the opportunity to respond today." You've never made that decision before to say, "Jesus, would you come into my life?" I want you to respond and say, "That's me." At the same time, even if you're someone who has maybe walked away from God and strayed from God for a while and you know that He is calling you back today, would you respond and say, God, I want to rededicate myself back to You? So if you're any of these two groups, I'm going to count to three, especially if this is the first time that you're going to take a chance on Jesus to come into your life. And if this is you, please put your hand straight up and I just want to pray with you today. All right. If you want to receive Jesus today, please raise your hands on 1, 2, and 3. Is there anyone here who would like to receive Jesus in their lives? Or if you would like to even say, I want to come back to a close relationship with God, just lift up your hands so that we can pray with you. And in hall 2, there are pastors that are also looking out. And if you're online, just type in, that's me. And then we will pray with you in a few short moments. Don't want to miss you out. If this is you, every head bowed, every eyes closed, just begin to slip your hand straight up and I want to pray with you today. Okay? Alright. Just a few more moments. Okay, just in case online or in hall 2, or even if you're here and you're shy, you didn't put up your hand, I want all of us here today, can we just all lift our hands even as we say this prayer together? Just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus. I confess that I am a sinner and that You are the only one who can cleanse me. Right now, I believe that Jesus is Your Son. I believe He died on the cross for my sins. I believe He rose again on the third day. I ask for Your forgiveness and I turn from my old ways to follow Your ways. Teach me how I should live in freedom and in joy. I ask that You come into my life as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. And now I just want to also speak to those here who have heard the message and know that you have this weariness and tiredness within you, that there is this anxiety that you haven't been able to find rest from. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says this, come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus is here today to give you the rest that you need. And if you've been feeling that tiredness and that fatigue, and you know that this season you want to be found resting in God's embrace and presence, I want to give you the opportunity to come to the front of the altar and the pastors, leaders, ministers will pray alongside with you and release that blessing, believing that the divine rest, divine delight will come upon you. Whether you are in hall 2 or hall 1, I want to give you the opportunity to come forward. And so even as we go into a worship song and respond in worship, if this is you and you want prayer, even to receive the divine rest of God to come upon your life, that the presence of the Almighty God, the presence of Jesus will come in, will quieten every storm, will speak to every storm and begin to minister deep into your soul. Would you come forward and we'll pray with you even as we go into a time of worship.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope that this message has encouraged or inspired you to live a victorious life. Remember to subscribe to our Spotify channel to get our weekly updates. Have a blessed week.